There we
Hi,
go.
Grace.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I wrote all this crap that's going on, but I'm fine.
Yeah, 2020 has
I don't
been.
know how it's. Yeah, the 2020 is something else, huh?
Yeah, it's one thing after another for sure.
Totally, totally. But this is so weird. I meant to call you a few days back, but I just had a lot of stuff going on, and I'm actually driving now. But that is so funny because me and my sisters talk about. You know, different, you know, that all the time, you know, back when, because I remember when he passed away, I was told by old relatives, and it was really weird. So I didn't, we never knew, because when my mom was with him, she told us that he had a son and a daughter older, huh? I think, but I never, you know, and then we never connected. Or she didn't know anything about him or anything because we're here in the Bay Area. And then, you know, we didn't know. And I always wondered if, you know, he had children after them. Is that true? He has two older kids as well?
He has. Okay. So here's at least what I know of. When he never talked about, he didn't talk about all of them, but I realized at some point that there were at least two or three. And then I thought, wait, I heard maybe there's four. And as he was in the hospital for a couple of months before he died. And during that time, I tried to ask him about things that, you know, whatever I could think of. And I asked him to try to list all of his marriages and children that he knew about. So here's what he told me. He was born in 1939. He had a son named Mark when he was like 17 or so.
Yeah, that I know. My mom confirmed that, you know, yeah.
And then he left immediately and went into the army. And when he was in the army, he had two boys. The first one he claimed wasn't his, but it's very obvious to me that that is definitely his child. And about a year after that one, he had his second one. That is Warner and Wendell. Warner.
I thought there was a Tanya.
Yeah, no, it's coming.
What?
So then he left the army, and it wasn't even an honorable discharge. It was, I don't know what he did, but somehow he was left the army.
Yeah, I knew that. My mom told me that.
And went back to Mark's mom and had Tawny. And so Mark and Tawny are full siblings.
Uh-huh.
Warner and Wendell are full siblings.
Okay.
After Tawny was born in 1960 or 60, I think like 1960.
Okay.
Then 2 years maybe after that, 2 or 3 years after that, he had a girl with a woman named Judy Mish.
Jeanette, isn't that my mom? Isn't that me? It would be me.
Is your mom?
My mom is Jeanette.
Oh, that's hilarious. Because I was like, there must be, so that's hilarious. Well, then that actually answers the question I had, because we knew he had a girl with someone named Judy Mish, and then we also knew he had someone named Brandy, and we thought those were two different people. And I was
it's Judy, Jeanette Santos was my mom, and, she passed away about 9 years ago, but, you know, that, and, you know, she was awesome, but, you know, totally took care of us and the whole bit, because, you know, my mom had two kids prior to when she met, well, I hate to say it, your
oh,
dad.
I know.
Our,
I completely
you know,
understand.
Her,
I understand.
You know, but, so she, you know, so he, you know, so they were already there when she met my mom, and then he had me, and, you know, but yeah, my mom, she, you know, left in a, you know, packed us up and you know, scheduled it to get the hell out of there. And I had to leave my cat behind, and we left him. He was asleep on the couch, and my mom had no driver's license, no job, never, you know, nothing. And she left and went to Grandma Khan. Did you ever meet Grandma Khan?
No.
Ms. Baum? No. Oh, so wait a minute. So how long were you, how old were you when he passed away?
I was 21.
So you lived with him all that time? I mean, he raised you?
from birth all the way through. I went to college. I was born right outside Tulsa in Claremore, but we lived in Tulsa, and then I went to the University of Tulsa, but I lived on campus. So I moved out when I was 17 and moved onto campus at the University of Tulsa. And he died 3 days before my graduation from the University of Tulsa.
Oh, wow. So he was with your mom the whole, so you were raised by him. What a trip.
Oh, yeah. Not good.
Oh, it was crazy too?
Yeah, it was awful.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, my mom got the hell out of Dodge.
I'm so proud of her. I don't know her, but I'm so proud of her that she did that. And that takes so much courage and so much strength and so much, because you're really brainwashed. And when you're in an abusive situation, and when somebody's extremely controlling, when you messaged me, I immediately called my mom and said, "You won't even believe who contacted me. It's Brandy." Like, I'm the only person in my family that was interested in digging all this stuff up. But it was important to me. And so I was really excited. And I told her, like, "Oh, you know, it's great. I contacted her." And she said, "Well, there's probably another skeleton that's going to fall out of the closet." And I said, "What?" And she explained to me why your mom left. And I said,
"Well, what did she tell you why my mom left?"
She said that your mom already had two kids when you were born, and that he was there and raised all three of you guys for 8 years or however long. The older ones were like 12 or 13, maybe.
No, my sisters were all 4 years apart. So they were, if I was six, you know, they were 4 years, you know.
One was 10, one was 14, something like that. But nevertheless, they were obviously minors. He molested them in some, like, he was sexually abusive in some way to them.
Yeah, my oldest, or to my one oldest of them. Sister. Yeah, my oldest sister. He didn't do anything with my middle sister, but my oldest sister. And in fact, he took her clothes and ripped them all up because she came home, you know, she walked home from school and was walking next to a boy or something. I don't know. Just crazy shit. I mean, he was a lunatic.
Yes.
Really, really lunatic. And so that's not just why. I mean, she was trying to leave him, you know, for a few years. And, we did. And then we went back. You know, my aunt came and, you know, picked us all up. You know, we would sit there. He begged her back. And so she went back a few times throughout this process, you know. And then one day she did. She never looked back. And she made a life for herself. She got it, you know, worked her ass off. She worked at a, you know, Ford Motor Company, and so that she could make, you know, decent money. And we can, you know, have all the things that kids want in school. And she really did. She was awesome. She was a very strong lady.
I'm so sorry that she experienced that, that you guys experienced any of that. Like,
I know.
I hate it.
I do too. I mean, I do too. And I'm just, when I read that, you know, that blog that you wrote, and I shared it with my oldest sister, and she's like, "Yes, that's him. That's him, Brandy. You should reach out to her." And she goes, "You know, share your story. Tell her, you know, what an animal he was, you know, too." And I said, "And, you know, and just because you wanted closure. You wanted to know what his kids, you know, additional kids and all of that too." I said, "Yeah, definitely."
Yeah.
But, I mean, we knew he was in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
We went back there because he dodged to pay Charles, you know, back then.
Right.
A lot of dads did that. He, you know, did that, but he was, you know, he was just the worst of the worst. I mean, he did come back and try and visit me a couple times and, you know, tried to steal the records that I remember being in the living room, and he was pulling tug of war with my mom. "Where do you want to go? You want to go with her?" Being, you know, just crazy stuff. And you know, I told him, "No, I want to stay with mom." And then he never came back again.
How old were you then?
Again. I was like, I think it was 6 or 7.
Right.
That was when, that was it. Yeah. And we had already, you know, moved out of the grandma's house. Well, Grandma Khan, I met Grandma Khan. Well, yeah, I guess you wouldn't have, because she had already passed away. Grandma Khan, maybe when you were around. When you came about, his mom probably had already passed away. You didn't hear anything about his mom?
No.
Oh, really? You never talked about, you know, his parents? I mean, that wasn't, I mean, you didn't, curious about the grandparents?
No, we were completely isolated, and I never met any family. There were no aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents. He isolated my mom completely. She had no contact with her family for 20 years.
What?
It was awful. Like I said, if you've
oh
ever...
Oh, my God.
It was, like, it is an absolute miracle that any of us are alive, honestly. And it, like, he was... I've been to therapy forever, like, as soon as I possibly could, because...
Oh, my God.
And I don't remember, like, anything for myself, but I distinctly remember. And I can hear my brother screaming. I can hear my dog screaming. Like, he was...
So, your brother was Wendell?
No. Well, yes, but I never knew Wendell. My brother... So, after after you... He had my brother in 1979 and me in 1983. So we're 4.5 years apart. And
but are you talking about Wendell, the
no,
brother, or your,
my brother, your... Matt, my,
oh,
so
okay.
Matt and I, and my mom and dad
okay.
all lived together the entire, you know, basically almost,
oh God,
he, yeah, it was insane. I never met Wendell at all, but I had heard, my dad had told stories, and that's how I knew there had to be more, more kids, because he very vaguely had mentioned, and I didn't know his name, but he had had some kid, and he was like, there's some fag kid he had who showed up at the door, and he was so proud of himself for, like, kicking that guy. I threw him out the door. I threw him as far as I could. I whooped his ass and threw him out the door. So I had heard that story before a couple of times, and once my dad died, I felt like, okay, I have this huge opportunity now to try to find all these, whoever else is,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, has been...
Is that
been...
why you did the blog?
Yeah, I was looking for, so I didn't have your last name or any information other than Brandy, which, how do you ever search for something like that, you know?
Right.
Same with Wendell. I only had the name Wendell, but I actually did finally find... Wendell's mother on Facebook, and so we had I asked her, have you heard anything, do you know where he is, and she said, no, I haven't seen him for 15 years or something like that, and she's the one who told me about the older brother Warner, and she said, you know, that's also his child. So that's how I found out about him, and he looks just like him, and I was like, oh my Lord. But she said, I've never seen Wendell, and I thought, well, I don't know how else I could find him. And that was about it. And then, just, you know, last September, August, whenever it was, I got a call from my mom who said that, I guess maybe Wendell's mom had called her or contacted her or something and said that they had finally found Wendell, but they found him only because he had died on the beach, and they
Was he from Visalia?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So that's kind of close to me. I mean, you know, semi,
yeah.
4 hours or whatever.
Yeah, I think it was on the Santa Monica beach he was found.
Aww.
And he had died of pneumonia. And they had...
So he was homeless?
As far as we know, there was no... We can't find any information. There was nothing.
Why is it the mom? Well, why did he leave the mom?
I don't know. Well, I think that everyone rejected him when he...
Was gay.
Right. I think everyone in the family...
Life is so different now. But, you know, now things...
I know.
I mean, I have an uncle that's gay. He's my favorite uncle. And he doesn't even act gay around. You know, he's just the coolest guy on earth. It's like...
Right.
So sick of all this craziness that makes people do... It's sad.
And I think, you know, I've gotten to know the mother, and she seems like she also has sort of... evolved over time, but it was too late. You know, she had no way of contacting him and didn't know where he was, and sort of, there was also this, anytime I asked about Wendell, there was this, almost this, and this is just my feeling, but I had the feeling that people thought he probably got AIDS. Like, it was almost this, it was like this feeling of, like, whatever happened to him is his fault, and I don't have to feel bad about the fact that we don't know where he is.
Oh.
And so it just, nobody just seemed to really care or look for him. And then when I found out that I feel awful, but I was like, I'm so excited. Like, where is he? And I want to meet him. And then almost immediately they were like, no, he's dead. It was the worst feeling. And I cried and cried. And then they tried to put together this like slideshow, and nobody had any pictures of him that were where he was older than maybe 21. And he died when he was 50 some years old.
Yeah.
And there was no nothing.
I looked at that slide. Yeah. So who, it was from his mom's, that, because it wouldn't be any family from Warner's side, because he didn't talk to anybody, did he?
No. He apparently showed up. So apparently he got kicked out or something of his mom's house, or they were, there's no, again,
mom was an alcoholic. Grandma was an alcoholic.
Yeah,
and she wasn't the best mom in the world. You know, she didn't have the best, you know, but still, you know.
Well, he told me his mom's name was Louise.
Yeah. My middle name is Louise.
Nice.
Yeah, I got her middle name, but yeah. So, I mean, it's, I met her, and I met her, and for some reason I thought she passed away in the bathtub, but I don't recall. You know, my oldest is just, are you sure? And I says, I could have sworn that's what mom said. And so I don't really know the facts on how she passed away, but I do know that, you know, she was, you know, really, you know, she liked my mom a lot, and she helped us, you know, even sent us money to get on the bus and, you know, go to my mom's mom, my other grandma's house. And that's how we, you know, came to the Bay Area, or got out of Modesto and, you know, came to San Jose or Milpitas at the time, because, you know, that's, you know, where she didn't have anywhere else to go. And she was going to, you know, obviously we stayed with, you know, our mom, I mean, my grandma. So, and that's just crazy. I mean, it's so weird how I just, she goes, I wonder what happened. So I looked it up and I go, oh my God, is this, and then I was trying to, how am I going to find, who's this Grace?
Yeah.
I think, and then I, you know, and then I'm like, okay, I don't even go on Facebook. I've been on Facebook in years. And I go, how do I, that's right. So I clicked a like of something that I thought would, you know, trigger you of Gwendol. I mean, is that his name? Yeah. And so I did that, liked it, picture, and then I, you know, friended you because I thought, okay, that'll hopefully, you know, click that, you know, that's, you know, a sign that I'm, you know, a relative. It's not, you know, just a random person asking to be your friend. And then it was just, you answered right away. I'm like, oh, wow, she's an active, you know, Facebook person. So that's, you know, that's cool. Yeah, so after all this time, isn't that strange? And that's so strange how all this time and we never were able to connect.
No, of course not. And if I had had any other, you know, information, well, when I was, I was in fifth grade, Mark and Tawny came to our house and they wanted to meet him. They remembered him.
So they're from Oklahoma too. Is that what the deal is?
They were both living in, I'm not sure, but they were both living in Phoenix when they visited. And,
well, how come nobody reached out to me? What the heck?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. I think they were looking for him. And I mean, that's how I met them, is because we were living at the house and they came to the house.
They were looking for Warner.
Yes.
Okay.
They were looking for, and this is when he was still alive.
Okay.
This is when he was still alive. They wanted to meet their dad and they remembered him. They remembered him a little bit and they just wanted to know, I guess. And so they came over and I remember.
Mark and Tanya?
Yeah. Tawny. It's T-A-W-N-Y. Tawny.
Okay. And how old is she then?
Hold on just a second. I can actually look. I have the birthdays, at least for some of them. Mark actually is now in prison. He's in prison for life. He had like three.
Ooh.
In Arizona, they have a three strikes and you're outlaw with felonies.
Yeah, so do we.
And
we
do too. And he had like, check fraud or like embezzlement or something, but and so he's somewhere in a I don't even know where, but he's in some penitentiary somewhere.
Wow. So he was on the rough side.
Yeah, he was the firstborn and things did not go well in his life. He didn't get it together, but who knows what happened there. Tawny is a real estate agent. And when she visited, I remember she could tell right away what was going on. And she actually asked my dad if she could take me with her. And I remember that so distinctly. And my dad actually...
How old were you? When you were in fifth grade, you said?
I was in fifth grade. And okay. she bought me my first ever brand new clothing. Like she went... Aww. I remember she went to the mall and bought like an outfit or something and brought it to me. I'd never had like a brand new anything. Like it had the tags on it.
What?
And I was so... I couldn't believe it. It was like gold. I couldn't believe it. And she,
oh my God.
And she asked,
how old is Tanya then?
That's what, yeah. I'm looking at it. Hold on just a second. I said, cause my brother is so funny. Like my brother, Matt, like I said, he's 4.5 years older than me. And he just completely, got away from the family when he was 18 and never looked back. And he has never, been interested or wanted to know before now, like about any of this. And I told him that you had contacted me, and all of a sudden he was like, all right, tell me what you know. You know, he's like, how many of these people exist
funny.
And what are their birthdays and stuff? And so I had to go back through and find these dates. So hold on, let's see. And he was at, it's so funny because I already had this conversation with him, and he said the same things you did, where he was like, who? And he had how many kids, and when were they?
I know. And it feels like we're all over the place right now because it's so much.
That's, you know, what
we'll
he said.
Talk again, absolutely.
Oh yeah, but that's what he said. He said this is too much to process right now. Like it's just it's a lot.
So where's he? Is you're close? I mean, he's still around.
Yeah, he lives. My mom moved in with him, and he lives down in South Georgia, kind of near the Florida Georgia line. Okay, so here we go. Wendell was born February 25th, 1960. And Tawny was born September 18th, 1961.
Oh, so 60 and 61.
Warner was born, not my dad Warner, but his child Warner that was Wendell's full brother. Warner was born February 8th, 1959.
Oh, wow. And then there was Warner, and then Warner had Wendell. I mean, there was Warner and Wendell.
Right.
From Warner.
So it was Mark first, and I actually don't know. He was born probably 57 or so, like somewhere around there. So Mark was the first one, like I said, sometime around 57, I think. And then there was Warner in 59, Wendell in 60, Tawny in 61, and then...
So wait, Tawny and Mark were siblings.
They are full siblings. It's just that Warner and Wendell are full siblings that were born in between Mark and Tawny, who are full siblings.
Oh, because of them. Because
he went back to her, right. So he was...
Service, okay.
Right.
Okay, gotcha. Oh, wow. And then after Wendell, must have been me.
Right. And so, and this is what I'm learning.
66.
Exactly, right.
I'm 66. And then you
and then Math
are,
and then Matthew,
and then Matthew
was February
18th, 1979. 66. Wow. So he's basically 10 years. Yeah, or no. How 79, 66, whatever. God, that's a lot of years. So he's, what is it, 14 years?
Yeah, my dad was way old. And then I was born August
28th, 1983. Oh, my God. I'm August 27th.
Well, nice.
And you probably never said anything when you were born on the 28th.
Nope. I never heard. I never knew.
What an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Listen, you
can say anything you like, and it won't be as bad as the words that are deserved for the way that he lived his life. It is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It blows my mind the path of destruction. Let me tell you this, and this is going to sound, it's going to sound cruel, but it's just not, it's just the truth. He died the slowest, worst, most sort of grotesque death. And I know that sounds awful to say, but it's like,
he did?
It is such, yeah. So when I was born August 28th, 1983, when I was in first grade, so I was six, so let's see, 83, 45, 6, 7, 8, so 1989, he was 50 years, or 1989, he was 50 years old, and he did not know that he was diabetic, and he had a stroke that took away at least half of his vision. Like in one eye, it was like half gone. And then the other eye, it was all blind spots. So he couldn't really see very well. And from 1989 to when he died in 2005.
Oh, wow. 1989 was when my daughter was born.
He had it right. So he became at that point, like I said, his health just kept going downhill. He had to have a toe amputated. Then he had his leg amputated. When I was in high school, he was pretty much wheelchair bound for the last 5 years of his life, from 2000 to 2005. He was wheelchair bound. And then in 2005, he had a heart attack, and for the last 2 months of his life or so, he had congestive heart failure, kidney disease. Like,
wait, he had a heart attack when? After
2005.
Oh wow,
that was what ended it. He had a heart attack in April, I think, of 2005, and then the last, like I said, the last 2 months. It was March or April of 2005, and he spent the last 2 months of his life in the hospital. But he could not breathe. He struggled. Like, it was like 8 weeks of him not being able to breathe, not being able to really eat. Like, he had blood clots coming out of his genitals. Like, that had to be sucked out. I remember just, and I was the only person that was in the hospital. Like, I felt like no one deserves to die alone. And I had so much, I think I just felt obligation and responsibility, and I just sat there with him the entire time so that he wouldn't be there alone. Yeah. And
she was just done with him, or what?
No, my dad told us, so it gets crazier, unfortunately. Basically, at some point in 1978 or so, my dad claimed that Jesus like visited him and told him he was a prophet and told him he was going to perform miracles, and he just had to wait until the appointed time. And he was in, like, he became, he told my, I think that he kidnapped my mom. She won't tell me details of what happened. All she says is that she was in between her junior and senior year of high school, and she was hitchhiking to Vegas from Syracuse, New York, and then with her friends. And then they were coming back towards Syracuse, and she went to a bar in Tulsa, and then she met my dad, and that was it. And then she goes, that's it. And then she won't tell me anything else.
Wait a minute. So your mom is quite a bit younger than him?
My mom was born June 3rd, 1958.
Oh my God. So she's
20 years younger.
Wow.
And then it's like after he died, I would get little pieces of information, more information from her, where she would say like, oh yeah, well, we didn't have a phone for the first 5 years that we were in the house. And then I found out after he died that she had parents and three sisters, and they were all still alive. And so
your mom never told you?
Nope.
You didn't have a relationship with your mom like that?
She was completely silent. She was completely obedient and
this is like a lifetime story.
Yes. There was no friends, no outside contact, no like nothing. She couldn't, I mean, there was nowhere for her to have gone or left or anything. She had no contact with anyone, but she was told that was her duty as the like prophet's wife or whatever. And there were all these rules about like, you could only wear skirts and like you could.
Oh, yeah. No, he tried to do that shit with my sister. You know, you can't wear that. You can't wear this. And, you know, he would sit us in the living room and make us listen. Who's going to be a singer. We had to listen to his writing and his crap. And if you didn't say that sounded good or whatever, he'd throw out a big fight and, you know, and he was abusive. And, he never hit me, really. Never hit. One time I was, you know, I dropped a sugar spoon on the table or whatever when I was putting sugar in my Cheerios or something, and he slapped my head or knocked me off the chair or something, but that was it. But he did abuse my oldest sister, and he didn't really touch my middle sister, you know, either. And, you know, so...
Nope, he was horrific. He would have my brother... Like I said, I don't remember things that happened to me, and I think there's some... I think my brain has just kind of... protected me somewhat, but I definitely remember him having my brother take his clothes off and then taking his belt and whipping him until he bled. One time he was beaten. His legs were beaten so severely, and he had bled so much that he couldn't go to school for a week. This is when I was in elementary school. That was the first time that I realized something was really wrong, because I heard my mom call the school and say, Matthew has the flu and he won't be in for at least a week. And I thought, why would they lie? Like, that's not what happened. Why are they lying? And I really just put it together, like, wait, this is not what's happening anywhere else. Like, this is not normal. This is not, otherwise they wouldn't be lying about it. Like,
man, I'm surprised that, you know, your mom. Oh wow, I'm so grateful that my mom.
Yes.
I mean, we do always give her credit. You know, we always did. And my mom, she sacrificed her whole life for us. I mean, you know, she dated and she had a really good man that wanted to take care of her. But we were spoiled. I didn't want to share my mom. I remember him asking, "Do I want to marry your mom?" And Frank Cruz. He was Frank Cruz. He was a, you know, super. She met him at work. And. I told her no. I said, no, mom, I don't want you to. I was just being a spoiled brat. And after, I really wish she would have, because, you know, my mom, you know, she worked her ass off, and she, you know, and, you know, she could have had a nice companion, you know, and, but she lived for her grandkids and for us. And that was my mom. You know, she didn't miss any of my kids' sports, or, you know, she was awesome. I mean, you know, and I just, I'm so grateful that I.
Yes.
Have that, you know, I mean, because I have issues, you know, because, you know, I didn't have a successful marriage, you know, even though he's still a part of our life, and he's, you know, we're like best friends now, but, you know, trust issues and that kind of shit, you know, and it probably stems from not having a good role model and not having, you know, an abandonment feeling, you know.
Absolutely.
That, you know, and, but, you know, I'm, you know, overall pretty damn, you know, turned out okay because of my mom, because she held it down, you know, both mom and dad, you know what I mean?
Yes. And you should give yourself enormous latitude and kindness for being able to put together. I mean, I've looked and I see the relationship you have with, I've seen pictures of you and your daughter, and it's obvious how much you love her, and it's enormous. It's an enormous weight and all the questions you have about, like, well, why was my dad like that? And what does it mean about me? I've had all those questions about, like, is there genetic, you know, he was such an absolute, like, I don't even know what words I could describe. And then I think does that exist in me somehow genetically?
That's what I was wondering, how the kids are, you know, how does that, because were they abused? I mean, luckily my mom got the hell out of there.
Right.
I mean, we have, you know, minute stories compared to you, because you lived with him the whole time.
Right.
But, you know, it was one time he, you know, put a chair, he pulled all of our furniture out on the front lawn in Modesto. We had lived on a busy street on Orangeburg, and sat out there, you know, drinking all night like an animal. It's like, threw a frying pan through the window. I don't even know what for, something. Because he lost a game or something, lost a playing a game or something, you know, he was just a lunatic.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he was an enormous, I mean, it's clear to me that he had mental illness for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, never ever managed, treated, nothing. And it's, my brother, unfortunately, like he left. And then my dad died, and then he basically, ever since, my brother has sort of said, let's not speak ill of the dead, let's not talk about him, he's dead now, it doesn't matter. But on the same token, he often will say, like, I hope dad would be proud of me, I hope he would think I was doing well. And I have to constantly say to him, no, first of all, you don't need his approval ever. And my brother will also say, well, I deserved it. Like, what I got, I deserved. Because I was a little shit, or I was a little whatever. And I'm like, no, that's not true. Right. Like, not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. Like, nothing.
I think because your dad, I mean, because a boy, it's different. It affects him differently, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but did he abuse you at all?
Did my dad abuse me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, the only things that I remember him spanking me, and then I learned if I started to pee, I remember I started to pee once during it, and he stopped immediately, and I realized then if I started to pee, he would stop, so I would actually try it. If he did it, I would try to pee. I know that when my brother would get, when I knew it was going to start happening, because I could tell when it was about to start happening, I would usually run into the bathroom and get on the toilet and close my ears and sing, so I didn't have to hear, so I wouldn't hear, because it was so devastating to, like, listen to. There's things like that. My mom did, my dad, I remember thinking, if my dad ever hits my mom, I'll kill him. This is going to sound, again, it's all going to sound horrible and insane, and I'm sorry.
Well, no, I would feel
I'm
that
so
too.
Sorry to say this. It's just the truth, but I definitely felt that way when I was 16. My mom, so he always required us to rub him, like massage him.
Yes, he did that with us too.
Yeah.
He did that with us too.
That's
yes.
insane. God, it's insane. Is it? I mean, I'm so sorry. Like, just talking about it is so disgusting.
It is.
But usually I would have to, like, rub his shoulders and his arms and whatever. So we would have, like, he called them rubs. He's like, oh, it's time for daddy's rubs. Or, like, it's so gross.
Yeah,
Christ,
yeah,
I hate talking about this. But
I know.
But my mom would always sit on the footstool and, like, rub his legs and his feet or whatever. It's all so insane. They never slept in the same bed. They never had any kind of romantic connection whatsoever. They were always just, she was a servant, you know? And so she I guess wasn't rubbing his legs well or not doing it right or something. And he got mad and hit her in the face. And I was, like I said, I was about 16. And I went to the kitchen and got a knife. And my best friend, Megan, who I still know and talk to and love, the phone rang. I picked it up and I said, I'm going to kill him. And she said, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do anything. And I blacked out. Uh-huh. Like, I was so enraged and upset and overwhelmed that I just blacked out. Like, I just passed out.
Can you imagine? Just like, I mean, I can imagine, because my mom said before, when he was in the hospital, when he had, he got stabbed by his best friend because he was, you know, drinking and stupid, and, you know, they stabbed each other. It was just crazy, and we were happy that he was in the hospital. And my mom's like, you know, I'm hopefully he doesn't make it. She just it was just that bad.
Yes.
And my mom was a totally, like, you know, not a troublemaker, make peace, you know,
right.
Everything was, she'll give you her last dollar. That's how she would, you know, how, that's kind of how she was. Didn't meddle in our relationships, you know, was just. You know, and so it had, I mean, for her to want, she says, oh yeah, I wanted him dead. I had to get out of there because he was just a nut.
Absolutely. I completely understand. And it's a horrible thing to think. And you think, and then you're like, what's wrong with me to have think something so horrible?
Uh-huh.
But it's what I thought. And I didn't, and I can't believe I didn't, but I didn't. And then basically maybe a year after that happened, he lost his leg, and then he was not able to be abusive because he literally he couldn't walk or get up or anything, and he was so obese that he could do nothing at that point. I remember it was just a totally, like, my whole world shifted when that happened. I was a junior in high school, senior in high school, and he came after me like he was gonna come after to hit me. And I was standing in my bedroom, and he wheeled forward and he got stuck in the door, in the doorway. He couldn't get in. And it was like, I just realized that's it. Like, he had, come over here, get over here, get over here. And I just thought, well, of course not. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go over to your wheelchair so you can hit.
That's terrible that you had to live with that monster the whole upbringing.
The whole time. And when I left, I graduated high school when I was 17. I went to the University of Tulsa. It was only, it was enormous. Like, it was an enormous, I had a full scholarship.
How'd you get a full scholarship with, your grades or?
Yeah, well, it's the Bill Gates Millennium Scholarship. He basically paid for every dime of my school. I got a degree in elementary ed. But when I left, my mom and dad moved into a mobile home. I went over there sometime, I visited maybe once.
Uh-huh.
And I went over and I told my dad, I had the courage to say, what you did was wrong. What you did and the way that you were abusive and it was wrong.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
he went on, the Lord told him to do it. And I was going to burn him.
Minister throughout you guys' lifetime?
No, but not, he had no church. He had no congregation. He made it up. Like he literally made up.
He did that with my mom too. You know, went into that whole Bible bit and all that crap. You know, it's like, as you're, you know, beating and being cruel and everything else.
Yeah, it was all nuts. Like he claimed he was a street preacher, which just meant he had no job ever, and he would just go to like thrift stores and garage sales and preach at people.
How did you guys survive if he didn't work?
My mom did. So my mom, all she had to go straight to work and straight home, and she'd never, like I said, that was it. Like she went to work, and she worked as a housekeeper at the hotel down the street. And then she went and worked. She was the assistant manager of the Goodwill thrift store for a few years. And then she got a job at a little neighborhood office supply store. She never made more. She didn't graduate high school because my dad grabbed her before she got back home. And like, we did finally go. I mean, her family was crazy too. So, I mean, she just went from one abusive situation to another one.
Oh, yeah.
And I have I don't have anything to do with her. Like, we know her family exists, and after my dad died, we went up to see them. I went with her. It was the first time they'd seen each other, talked to each other in over 20 years. And it was cordial and kind of weird. Like, we all went to coffee, basically, and they hugged, and it was just awkward. And then we left, and I just felt angry because I thought, you didn't go looking for her. Some girl just, like, your daughter leaves to go hitchhiking and then doesn't come home, and you don't.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
And that's, you're just like, oh, not well.
Like, what a freaking dog.
Yeah.
Never paid child support. What a piece of shit.
Absolutely.
You know, I thought, you know, you're terrible.
He really is. Like, you didn't miss out. You know, I thought of you a lot once I knew you existed, because he told me before he died that he had been there with you until you were around 8, he had said. And
yeah, I was actually 6 or 7. I think it was 6, actually. 6 and 8, I don't know.
I don't know. But when he said that, I thought, oh my God, she'll remember him then. Because the other ones, he was only... So he was around Mark for a few months, and then he left. And then he came back when Mark was like 5 or 6, and he was around again for a couple of years maybe, and then he left again. So I thought, well, Mark knows of him a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Tawny won't remember him at all. Wendell wouldn't remember him at all. So you were the only one that would ever have any memories of him. And I thought, that's awful, really. Like, because whatever they are, I'm sure they're not good. And
right.
And if they, and I didn't know, again, I had no idea about why he left until literally like 2 days ago, until my mom told me. So I'd never heard that story. And when I told her, I said, he told you that? Like, first of all, I couldn't believe that he admitted that he did that. I couldn't believe, because I just couldn't believe he said it. And then I said, when did he tell you that? And she was like, well, like right when we've, you know, within the first year probably that they were together, he said that he's like, I never had intercourse with her, but I fooled around with her or something like that, or with one of the kids, like the older kid. And she's like, yeah, and I think that kid was probably 12 or 13 maybe. And I said, he told you that? I like literally I couldn't believe it. I kept saying, he told you that? And I said, and that wasn't,
and my sister growing up, she my oldest sister, she was kind of like, you know, me and my other middle sister, she'd say, you know, you guys are sleeping around, you know, because my sister was, you know, in high school and stuff, you know, she, you know, had boyfriends and, you know what I mean? And,
right.
You know, was a little more promiscuous than, you know, than than us. We were always a little different, even though they were full-blooded sisters. It was like, well, we don't even, you know, claim each other as being half sisters because we grew up together,
right?
You know, and it wasn't even like that,
right?
But so it's funny because I think obviously that affected her because
what of course
to her, you know?
Of course,
and we were, you know, more like my mom, you know. It was like, you know, just different, you know, when it comes to boys and stuff. But you know, I mean, you know, but my problem is the fact that, you know, I just, you know, don't trust men to a certain extent, you know what I mean? You have to, you know me a long, long time before I'm going to let you in. And that's probably, you know, that's the issue.
Sure.
You know, so that's not, that probably came from, you know, that maniac.
Yes. God, of course. I mean, he has a trail. He has like, and mm-hmm. one of the most incredible trails of destruction that I can even imagine. Like, at no point did he ever, and I think, you know, I, as he, maybe in his last 6 months or last year, I think he knew that it was over, that he was dying. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there was not a soul showed up to that hot, and my mom didn't, because she was working, and I think that she just loved the fact that she had the house and he wasn't in it to tell her what to do with. And she immediately started drinking to manage all the unbelievable decades of pain.
Sure.
And my brother takes care of her now, and she's
well, he was an alcoholic too.
Oh yeah. Well, he stopped drinking. So when he had his stroke,
he stopped her.
Yeah, when he was maybe 1990 or so, it's about 15 years before he died, he stopped smoking and drinking. And I remember thinking at the time, oh my gosh, he's gonna, like, now he's not gonna
be normal.
He's not gonna be abusive. He's not gonna do anything bad anymore. It's probably, that's what it was. And it had no effect, like zero effect on anything at all. Like, there's not a bit. He would keep me up all night just telling, just going on and on. He would preach about the Bible.
Yes,
he would watch.
Yes, that's what he did with my mom and my sisters.
He would watch.
My mom and my oldest sister, but June, because I have two sisters, June and Joni, and they are from my mom's high school, high school sweetheart. And, you know, he was, you know, nothing great either. And so my mom, you know, he wasn't in their life, and he lives right in Modesto. And, you know, my sister several years ago, they went and tried to meet him, and he, you know, didn't want to connect or anything. And he, you know, was, he was a loser too, so to speak, you know. But so it was basically, you know, my mom and us and my sisters. And, you know, she did really well, though. I mean, I will say I have to give her credit all the way, because, you know, she showed us love and nurturing, and didn't, you know, she smoked cigarettes, you know, back in the day. But other than that, my mom didn't do anything but cater to her kids. Huh?
Right.
And that's what I've done, is cater to my kid. And she's a spoiled, no, but she's married and I'm happy. And, you know, I've got two grandsons that are, you know, awesome. And, you know, couldn't ask for a better son-in-law. And, you know, but, you know, my dad was he was prejudiced all the way. And I don't know if you are, but, you know, we're a very diverse family, you know, now total diverse. And, I can just imagine if he always used to say, oh, I wonder if you ever met my dad, you know, he would have freaking, you know, totally freaked out. And we, you know, joke around and everything because he was a nut.
Oh yeah. God. Yeah. Like, I remember. Now, I'm like the opposite of, I'm like the polar, and I'm the only person, and I think, yeah, I've tried to face all of this head on for what it is, call it out for what it is, like, but I remember when I was in elementary school, there was a Martin Luther King Jr. play that my school was putting on, and my dad had my mom write a letter to the principal and to my teachers saying that we would absolutely, like, I could not participate in it. I could not be any part of it.
God. Yeah, I figured you would have had, because I said, oh, she's in Oklahoma. Oh, God, I probably have a prejudiced sister. And I'm like, oh, shit. But, you know,
no.
I mean, like with all this protest, I mean, it's funny because me and my son-in-law, because he's a smart, he's a big time into this whole, you know, intellect side of this drama that's going on with the protest, not the stupidity side. And so we get in these big, deep conversations because, you know, we weren't raised like that. And Alexis's dad's side wasn't raised like that. We joke around a lot and stuff. And even though, you know, because, you know, my ex-husband's dad is white. And so they grew up differently. And it's so different because my daughter, she's just like, what? Now I'm going to have to throw away the cream of wheat because there was a black girl on the cream of wheat. You know, that's how we joke at our house.
Yeah.
And it's not that, you know, but Marcus, my son-in-law, he's really deep into, you know, where this goes way back. And I go, but Marcus, I said, you know what? You're a millennial. These millenniums, you just can't change history. It is what it is. Move on. You know, and I'm just joking, you know, around and stuff. But this whole business with this protest is like crazy. So, you know, everybody has their own opinion. It just, you know, I do say that, but so I would feel that Warner would have certainly have, you know, tried to provoke that, you know, kind of, separation with, you know, any future kids or anything. I'm sure he did.
1,000%. Well, I don't even know how to.
That's so crazy though, because, he had a black guy that he was friends with, my mom said, and he called him like his best friend. And they, you know, got in a big old fight one time and they punched each other out and all this stuff because he called him a nigger and all this stuff. But he hung around with him all the time. But he called, it was just he was a lunatic. It was just bizarre.
Yeah.
So he had a black friend that he hung around with all the time, but then he would call them names when they got drunk and they'd fight each other and they stabbed each other. It was just crazy.
Yeah. I have to try to piece together the story.
I know.
And it's hard to do, but from what I understand, he went to like 17 different schools and he was sexually abused at least like two of the places where he ended up. He was in countless homes. He ended up at the Haskell Indian Institute in Kansas in high school and got into a fight where he almost killed some kid and got booted. And then I think that's about the time he knocked up Mark's mom. And then he lied about his age and maybe even his name and got into the army and left. But it sounds like he had a ton of childhood trauma that was never addressed, obviously. And then he just perpetuated, like he just kept the cycle going everywhere he went and took out his rage and crate. And again, obviously there was a whole lot of screws loose there too, in terms of, everything that he'd everything had to be facing a certain way and it had to be a certain everything had to be he put together these just massive, I don't even know how to describe them, like genealogical charts maybe, but they were like these huge, I'd say gosh maybe 3 feet by 6 feet, that he would use like tape. I don't know if you remember it would be like a wheel with a bunch of letters on it and you would turn it would create these little tapes that had words on them. He would fill up an entire 3 foot by 6 foot frame or something full of words, just words from the Bible or words from whatever.
He's a nut. He's a total nut.
Oh yeah, like there was just like all sorts of things that I didn't, unfortunately, if you're not really, if you don't have a lot of access to anything outside,
you don't really know.
There was so much catch-up work that I had to do once I got free, and a lot, like, just trying to, like, just things that people take for granted. Even now, I'm 36 now, but there are still things sometimes that I come across that people are like, how do you not know about, or how do you not, how have you not just... Even like pop culture references, because we had no outside, other than I would go to school and come straight home. There was no, and my mom would go to work and come straight home. And so if I didn't run across whatever it was between nine and three, I wouldn't know
what
was going on.
That's really devastating. That's like torture, Grace. It really is.
Oh my God. I remember my senior year of high school, in the middle of the day, we went to an academic bowl. It was kind of like a Jeopardy style quiz bowl type of thing against a school down the street. And so we went over there, and afterwards they took everybody to IHOP as like a, we won the championship thing or whatever. So we went to IHOP. I had never been inside of a place that had a menu or that had a server. And I started crying because I was terrified. I had no everyone was doing stuff. I'd never seen it. And people thought that I was like joking. Like people thought I was joking.
Yeah, they probably, didn't know. You know, and the kids, your kids can be mean too, you know?
Oh yeah, I was terrified. Like terrified. And I just was like, I'm not hungry. And I just had no idea what to do and panicked completely. And I think I still have. But the good news is there's light at the end of this tunnel. I am whole and happy and at peace.
No, you seem very put together from, you know, obviously.
But it's taken a lot of therapy and a lot of facing things like that are hard to face talking about things, and music has helped, comedy has helped, writing has helped.
Of course. Yeah, you gotta laugh. But you know what, Grace? I really wanna, I do wanna reconnect, and I want to actually, you know, if we can, you know, really, you know, I don't know, have more conversation. I would love to do that. I'm just now getting to my destination. My grandkids are gonna wanna.
Yeah,
I got to get out of these work clothes and all that stuff. So I'm going to have my attention on them. But
Good.
I would definitely like to, you know, reconnect. And it's just awesome that we were able to talk, you know.
Yeah.
This is like bizarre, but it's fun. It's neat, you know, and it's good for us.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. So, I mean, you know, and you have my number too. But, you know, I think we should try and, you know, revisit, you know, and talk, you know, more and find out a little bit more about each other and stuff. That, you know, after all, I guess we're sisters.
Surprise!
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You've got a few sisters that you didn't know about.
Yeah, I did not.
Well, you knew, but you met one. So I'm the only other sister you didn't meet.
Yeah, I met.
Okay.
I met Mark and I met Mark and Tawny when I was in fifth grade, and then when I looked them back up when I was older, I looked them back up. You know, maybe 10 years ago, I saw that Mark was in prison, and I saw that Tawny was, like I said, she was a real estate agent, and I think I felt afraid of, I think I needed to heal a lot, and I didn't want to, I wasn't at a place where I wanted to meet anybody else yet, and I didn't want to think about it yet, and so I just kind
of,
I didn't attempt to make, to reconnect again, because they came that one time and then we never heard from them again.
Okay.
And so I just thought, so I have not reconnected with her or contacted her since that time in the fifth grade that I saw her. And then Warner and I are Facebook friends.
Oh, okay, cool.
And their mom, like I'm Facebook friends with her.
I want to see pictures.
Yeah, I will.
I want to see pictures.
I will. I definitely
you
will.
You got to see pictures, but I don't do Facebook. I mean, I haven't been on there in years, but you'll have to, you know, text me or
yeah, I'll just text you
pictures. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'll text you pictures.
Okay. All right. Well, let's try and, you know, let's make some time for each other and try and, you know, talk again. I mean, that would be great if that, you know, works for you.
I'm completely open to that. So it's whenever you
all
feel.
Right.
Like you'd like to talk, just let me know.
All right. Sounds good, Grace. Nice talking with you.
Nice talking with you. Have a good night.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.